Hi, I'm Casey Carlson with Westville Comics. I've been working in comics for about 125 years, and I'm sitting here in Huntington, West Virginia, talking to my good friend Beau Smith. He'll introduce himself.
I'm Beau Smith. I've been in the comic business for 28 years now on both sides as a writer and creator, but also on the marketing end. And Casey had most of all that right, except for the part that we're good friends.
Beau just got back from Canada?
Yes, Calgary.
Calgary, where you were, well, what were you doing there?
Well, went up to be on the set of the television show that's based off of the comic book creation that I started in 1996 called Wynonna Earp. And it has been picked up for 13 episodes by the Sci-Fi Channel. And they're filming all 13 episodes in Calgary. Interiors as well as out in the wild, and the production, we're very fortunate that the production crew they've also been on the Fargo television series that's on FX, as well as the Leonardo DiCaprio movie The Revenant. They did a lot of work on that also, so we're taking advantage of the great outdoors up there. I mean, it's with the Canadian Rockies were right above us. We shot a couple of scenes there, and It's a pretty neat experience for somebody like me, even someone as jaded as I am for as long, you know, been in comics
sure.
and stuff, to see this. So basically, 10-year-old trapped in a 61-year-old body.
Very cool. What's the premise of Wynonna?
Wynonna Earp combines two things that I've been in love with since I was a kid, and that's the Old West of America. Mostly post-Civil War to 1920. To me, that's the most interesting time out in the Wild West as far as frontier and lawlessness and how things went. It also gives me a chance to do some admiration, love for universal monsters. And by that, I mean Wolfman, Dracula, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, any of that kind of stuff. And I've always, you know, as a kid, I wanted to combine those. And
sure.
My dream as a kid was to have Wyatt Earp, who was my favorite character from the Old West, hunt down monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I would draw that in my school notebook. So as I got older, and Westerns were all over the landscape when I was a kid, but as I got older, say college and to now, they're not quite as popular as they used to be, so are a little harder sell. So I thought, well, I'll make it not Wyatt Earp, but I'll make it his descendant. She's like the great-great-granddaughter. And I wanted to make it as realistic as I could as far as how the U.S. Marshals work with hunting fugitives down and witness protection. So we do that with her. She's a member of the Black Badge Division, and that's been around since Teddy Roosevelt found out as police commissioner in New York that there's a paranormal organized crime system. And he made this very covert branch of the U.S. Marshals to hunt this down, but also keep it out of the public eye so that there would not be panic. And so she hunts down paranormal fugitives, and she works with people in the paranormal witness protection program. And it's a hierarchy. I mean, you've got the immortals at the top of this paranormal crime organization, then the vampires, who they do not like the immortals because they feel cheated because they have to drink blood to stay alive forever with the immortals, or the silver spoon guys. You know, they get to do it for free. Then you've got the werewolves, a little rougher around the edges. You go on down to even to the bottom, which are the pre-decay zombies who know that their future is not going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a lot of petty crimes, you know, just to get by till we become rotting, you know, limping corpses. So I just try to apply what's in real life to this fantasy world. Make it fun.
Well, it's cool that you pull in all the famous monsters. Were you a fan of Famous Monsters of Filmland when you were a kid?
In our area, when here in Huntington, West Virginia, distribution-wise, that kind of stuff, those magazines were hard to get a hold of. So when I did, it was like a real treasure find.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I used to sit and cut out the pages after I'd read them, put them on my walls. I have pictures of Frankenstein, the colossal man. Any from grade B to grade A monster thing I had on there. So that was a constant reference, and I always wanted a chance to write comics was always my first dream.
Sure.
And now to see one of my creations end up being live action is, you know, it's head exploding.
Okay. Just to let you know that if you hear some occasional background noise here, we're not in a studio. Bo, tell us where we're at.
We're at Central City Cafe, which is on 14th Street in Huntington, West Virginia. It has been one of my favorite places to eat and has been since 1993. I'm usually in here once to twice a week. Dave Luther and his wife Cheryl and Nikki and everybody, they basically treat us like family here, so it's kind of like being in my living room, only with better food.
Very nice. Well, oh, I would second that, because I've probably had lunch here at least 20 or 30 times by now.
Oh, you know, definitely, so. Definitely.
So what was it like being on the set?
That was probably, other than faith and family, that was the best 48 hours of my life. For 48 straight hours, I was like the center of attention at a really cool party that I was expecting them to kick me out of at any moment. It was wonderful. It was mind-blowing to see how many people are involved in the production of an actual television set. We were on the interiors the first day, where all the interior sets, the Shorty's Bar, the Black Badge headquarters, the ranch, and it was all within a 64,000-plus square foot warehouse, and all these individual places were in what looked to be big wooden boxes.
Sure.
You step into it, you step into another world. A couple times I had to step out to make sure I was really in a warehouse and then go back in. That and meeting the cast, Melanie Scrofano is playing Winona Earp, and I saw all the auditions. I see the dailies every day, and I could tell from the beginning Melanie's a hoot. I mean, as a person and as an actress, this series covers drama, horror, crime, and humor. I don't mean slapstick humor, but everyday humor. Like, we all have sad points in our lives every day, but we also have a lot more humorous moments.
Sure.
She captures this. She probably, what we were discussing it earlier, she has that, what I call James Garner aura. She is a very, very likable person. She hits that. Her boss on the TV series is Shamir Anderson. Big, intimidating guy who is probably one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet in his life, in your life. And that's the hard part, when meeting him, this big, tough, likable guy. And I basically say he's the sweetest kid in the world, and it shows his acting ability to be this really stern, no-nonsense kind of a guy. Then there's Tim Rozon, who is playing Doc Holliday. And Tim, my wife Beth will attest, he's got classic Hollywood movie star looks. You can't look at him and not say, this is a handsome man. And he's from the French speaking part of Canada, and he does a southern Georgia drawl like he was born to it. So when my wife Beth got to meet him on the set, she was going, oh, Tim, I'm glad to meet you, and I see all the dailies, and I'll probably look at you a lot more than I should. So at that point he started backing up and looking for help, but no, she really likes it, which is good. And it's just like I said, it's a great cast. They're all young actors that have been a lot of other television series and films within Canada, and they, with the cast and the crew, they're bringing this passion. I mean, they're all wanting to make this the best thing that they can do, and with that beautiful scenery we have in Calgary, it adds to our budget. And I'm making this up, if our budget was $50 million for 13 episodes, the scenery and the construction and everything else makes it look like it's $150 million. It's that much of a unique situation.
Wow, that's great.
It's going to be on the Sci-Fi Network, and it starts April 1st. It'll be on at 10 o'clock at night on Friday. So that's what we're looking at. The comic book series, the new one, starts in February. I'll be writing it. I'm writing the third issue right now. Laura Ennis, she's done The Dreamer, book she's created and written and drawn for the last, 8 years. She is the artist on it, and Jay Photos will be doing the coloring. Laura brings everything that the TV show has. She brings that action sense, the humor sense, but she also brings a really good emotional point of view to it. with the expressions and the body language. And it's like if I've got an onion, she's adding layers to it. So not to say anything stinks. I'm just saying it's that kind of thing. She adds. We've been wanting to work together since she was 18. I met her at Mid-Ohio Con. Jeff Smith introduced me to her then many years ago and says, "Bo, I want you to look at her stuff. This girl's got a lot of potential." And I could see that at that stage, not just with her art, but with her point of view from storytelling. Is and she's proved that in the Dreamer many times. She's excellent. It's a great chance for us to work together.
That sounds great. I mean, it sounds like everybody on the team really gets what yes. Wynonna Earp is, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, Wynonna Earp to me has always been, I've always written the past since 96, Wynonna Earp at the age of 35 to 40, which is what I've always wanted to do. I want to take a female character, and I hate the phrase, "Oh, you're doing a strong female character." No, I'm doing a strong, compelling character. Their gender is not important. Mm-hmm. It's like when you go into the delivery room, it's going to be a boy or a girl, generally. That's what, this time it was a girl. And I don't like that label because she's, again, it's more than a gender thing. And she, I've always written her 35 to 40, because you don't get to see very many characters. You do male-wise, but you don't female-wise mm-hmm. in that age group. Yep. And to me, that's 35 to 45 is prime. I mean, that mm-hmm. is mentally, physically, that's
okay.
everything that would make a character compelling, but I also want to make her likable. Because if a character's likable, no matter what the confrontation is, no matter what the situation is, you will always come back because you have an emotional investment in that character. And that's always my key thing. It's not is Galactus coming to eat the world or anything like that. It's I like this character, and you know they're up against somebody that's cheating on their taxes. I mean, that may seem mundane, but if you like that character, it's just as important as Galactus eating the world.
Sure.
So that's always been my goal on that. And like I said, with Laura, she's done this with Bea, her main character in The Dreamer. She's able to show that character that likability mm-hmm. through that, whether the characters say anything or not. And I trust Laura 100% that Wynonna's in great hands. I mean, every time I get Laura's art, I'm just going, oh, that she's enhanced this, she's enhanced that. That's a perfect, that's where I wanted to go. It's like she's not only pulling it out of my mind, but she's dressing it up in better clothes than I could ever afford to put her in.
Sounds like a great show.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It'll keep me in beer and biscuits if you watch it, Casey.
Okay.
So I need that.
So have you been asked to write any of the episodes for the series?
You know, that has been mentioned a couple times, but again, that to me, honestly, that cameos and things like that are really the important thing to me, and I really mean that. The important thing to me is am I going to enjoy this? This is a creation of mine that's going on the TV, and am I going to enjoy it? And I can say that Emily Andrus, who is the showrunner and the head writer, has managed to channel everything I've wanted Wynonna Earp to ever be without doing brain surgery and getting inside my ugly head. She has brought all that and made Wynonna Earp not only compelling and interesting and funny, but really, really super interesting. I mean, there's 100% trust, especially after being up there and talking to Emily and the rest of the writers in the writer room. I've got no worries on this. I mean, Wynonna Earp is going to be portrayed at 25. So this is the beginning where I always wrote her 35
right.
to 40. This is Wynonna at the beginning of her career. Mm-hmm. So warts and all, screw ups and learning the business and such. So it's a great place of introduction for anybody, whether they've been reading the comic since 96 or they're brand new viewers on the TV show. This is going to be a great introduction, and Emily is a perfect person to take their hand and walk them into that. She has managed to not only read the material that's come before, but like Laura with the artwork, she's been able to add and enhance it with other layers that you don't get to do in an 18-page, 20-page comic. And I'm very thankful for that. With the new series, I'm actually making the new series a hybrid of Winona, what's come before, and mm-hmm. what Winona you're going to see on television. We're not borrowing from each other as much as we're melding what both okay. of us have created. And I'm really excited about that. And one of the first questions I get, Casey, is, Winona's always been blonde. How come now she's brunette? Well, there actually always has been and will be a story for that. I can't reveal that, but it'll actually be, it's not just a, I decided to change my hair color type thing. There's actually a pretty key component there that will show up later on when Winona Earp is older, and you'll find out why she went from brunette to blonde.
Oh, wow.
So that's something Easter egg-ish for the readers and the viewers to keep their eye on for later on.
Well, that sounds like something worth waiting for.
Oh, yeah, I hate to make it sound like hair color is going to be a big thing, but for once, it's unlike a costume and a superhero thing, this actually is, there's a strong reason behind it.
Very good. Thank you, Bo. We've been talking to Bo Smith today, and this is just kind of a fun thing we're trying out, but if people like it, maybe we'll try it again someday.
Yeah, because Casey and I, we do this every time you go through town, so.
Yeah, we could do this for 2 or 3 hours if we wanted
definitely,
to.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening. See you again.